Seven blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with Sabbath day and the changing of the showbread. Thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those we mentioned last night. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain so that we can go forth with courage to do the work you have called us to do. And thank you for blessing us with your presence throughout this service and blessing us with opportunities this week to share our faith. We uplift this prayer unto you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen. I want to welcome any new people that are here. And again, I want to say, oops, I apologize. I sent out a mass email to everyone that was supposed to go to one person. Well, actually, two people signed up today. Quite a few signed up today, but two people signed up today with names that aren't real first names. And we don't allow the incognito thing here anymore because of the, when people don't use their real names, they, now I'm not saying everybody has this problem, but people that usually like to attack the church service during service hours come in here using fictitious names or handles. And so we insist that they use their real first name. And we say first name because some people use, you know, whatever. Yeah, the recorder is on. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was on last week. It was on. It was just that I forgot to turn off the, when the music plays, I have the stereo mix section of the control panel for the sound on. I just forgot to turn the stereo mix off. You know, because the stereo mix will record anything that goes on through the computer, but it don't record anything that comes through the mic. And you got to switch it back off so that the microphone is recorded next. I forgot to do that. So the recorder was on. Everything was working fine. You know, the red light is blinking like it's doing now, but the VU meter, as they used to call them in the old days, wasn't moving, and I didn't notice it. But it's moving now, so it's redlining. If I yell, it'll redline. But I'm not going to yell. But thank you for all your reminders. And somebody, sooner or later, I kind of wanted to re-record the two witnesses sermon that I did last week because I want to make a video out of it. And I kind of like to prevent all the hiccups and, the tongue trips, you know, when you trip over your tongue kind of a thing. So, because there's a lot of weird stuff going out there in the world today with people claiming to be the two witnesses. I mean, that happened in Fire Talk days. I remember that. These two guys came online, and these guys were evil, too. And they claimed to be the two witnesses, and they ended up in jail for things that they did to, I'm not going to go into detail, but it was pretty bad. They were very strange. Anyway, I want to welcome all the new people. If anybody's new here today, it's kind of hard to tell. There's so many different names. If you are new, and you want to read along with the notes, up on the top right above the banner that says Seventh-day Remnant Church, it says Sabbath Study Notes. You click that, it'll bring you to the notes. And you won't be, it'll look like you left a room, but you didn't. You just scrolled down on the page. So, okay. And that POGM cell thing is my cell phone. I'm trying something weird just to see if it works, and it seems to be working okay. I thought it would stay on all night, but it didn't. So, just ignore that. Okay. All right, we're in question number 8. And the question is, let me get good glasses on here because I'm not going to have, these are dirty. Hold on a second there. That's a little better. Okay, question number 8. Why did God make the seventh day Sabbath? And can you hear me okay? Because it looks like the VU meter says I'm a little low on volume, but I'm trying to make a smaller gain bubble. That's good? All right, thanks. Okay. It says, and the question, again, is why did God make the seventh day special? And Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So, amen. It seems pretty obvious to me. He made the seventh day special because that's the day he rested from all that he created. The Sabbath is God's holy day, according to Isaiah 58:13, as we all know. If you study your Bible, this is, yeah, we know this. And this is why we're here on Sabbath day. I mean, this is not something any of us need to be educated on. And we also know that we're to look upon this day each week as a delight. And I really look forward to it because, you know, things are extremely busy throughout the week, and it gets to where I can't wait until sundown Friday. And when we obey the Lord and keep it holy as he commanded, we can't help but to contemplate what he did the preceding 6 days in creation week that brought him to day seven, where he rested and made the day holy. But I kind of like to read here Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, because you're going to be using this a lot in these last days. Because it's an easier verse to use in regards to, at least in my mind, I like using it because of what it says. It says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words." Let me stop there for a minute. Because I run across a lot of babes in Christ that don't realize what's actually being said here. First of all, most of us, I would think all of us here, understand when it says that the Sabbath is the Lord's holy day. Because it says here, "from doing thy pleasure on my holy day." And so when they say that John was in spirit in the book of Revelation on Sunday, because they call that, they say it was the Lord's day, you know right off the bat they're embracing pagan theology. Because Isaiah 58:13 plainly says the Lord's day is the seventh day Sabbath. But because so many people, even before the Christian church began, so many people were pagans, and they would call the pagan god Lord, because the devil knew in advance how to manipulate the truth that would eventually be written in Scripture, just like he did with the virgin birth. You know, some Amerimus claimed that she had a immaculate conception when Nimrod showed up to her in spirit and she gave birth to Tammuz, because they all knew that he had been dead, and so the only way she's going to be able to get pregnant is by an adulterous relationship or a fornicating type relationship. And so she came up with the idea with a virgin birth, and this is what the devil used. I mean, if you've ever seen that that atheistic video they put out a couple of years ago that was overwhelmingly exposed, there's many mythological characters where they have so-called immaculate births, where there's no man involved, and that's because the devil knew in advance that Jesus would be born of a virgin. So, well, it's the same thing with the Lord's Day. And so when people look at John saying that he's in the Lord's Day in the book of Revelation, and if they're totally indoctrinated by Roman theology, they think right off the bat, well, that's got to be Sunday, because everybody calls Sunday the Lord's Day, because the pagans were the first to do that, because they worshipped Baal, the sun god, and eventually that day stopped being called day one. It was eventually called Sunday, just like day two, they stopped calling day two. They would call it Moon Day, or now we call it Monday, or Tuesday was another god, and then Wednesday was shortened from Woden's Day, and then Thursday was, of course, Thor, you know, the god of Thor's Day. And then Friday was F-R-I-E-G-D-A-Y, but it shortened to Friday. And then Saturn Day, so all the days is all just pagan gods. And so, but, of course, this is why a lot of people to this day think my holy day means Sunday. But the point, the reason I stopped, see, I have a tendency to go off, you know, a little bit there. But the reason I stopped is because it says here that the Lord would prefer that we call the Sabbath day a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And there's a lot of ways that you can define this, like not doing thine own ways, okay? Like a hobby. Let's say you've got a hobby that you do every day of the week. Well, on the seventh day, don't do it. Nor finding thine own pleasure. Well, especially if it's a hobby and you have pleasure in doing so, don't do it on the seventh day. It's not about you. It's not about pleasing your flesh. It's about acknowledging your Creator. nor speaking thine own words. And this one, a lot of people have a problem with this. And what I mean by this is the phone rings, it's a friend they haven't heard from in years or months or weeks or whatever the case may be. Like when my dad was still alive, I would talk to him 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a week, but I would never talk to him from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown because he wasn't a Sabbath keeper, and I knew he would go off track. And there would be a lot of talk about technology and, you know, whatever else, politics and stuff like that, because he liked to talk about stuff like that, too. And so I wouldn't talk to him on Sabbath day. I never had a problem with gossip. As a matter of fact, I always loathed it, especially when I ran my own businesses. And you had the office politics, which is actually just gossip. But there are people that will pick up a phone on Sabbath day and talk to their friends about, oh, did you see what Mabel did? Or did you see what Joe did? You know, they just all day long just back and forth with their own words. Nothing that would glorify the Lord. The day isn't any different to them. And their friend that calls doesn't realize the day is any different from that to them. It's just like a friend that I just started talking to the last few years that I haven't seen since my teen years. I won't even talk to him on Sabbath day, even though he claims to be a Christian. He doesn't understand a lot of the prophecies or the Sabbath. And so he has a tendency to go off path when we talk on the phone, and so I won't talk to him on Sabbath either. And because I don't want to be lured into that, unless it's an emergency. I don't want to be lured into that area. And if it is an emergency, I'll talk and I says, okay, look, it's Sabbath. I don't want to go off path here. I want to keep this day holy. We'll talk when the sun goes down. That gives me an opportunity to share the truth with my this person about my Lord. And it's little opportunities like this that the Lord sees how you react to them. You want to be an evangelist? You want to be someone that shares your faith more effectively? Well, he's going to send you these little tests. Will you not call someone on Sabbath day? And then when they ask you, why didn't you call me? You could say, well, you know, it's Sabbath. And that's just a two or three word sentence. That glorifies the Lord. He says, okay, I could trust my child. They're going to go ahead and tell them why they couldn't talk. And then I'm going to give them another test, and it's going to get a little stronger. And before you know it, you're out there sharing your faith on a soapbox on the street corner, and people just gathering around to hear it. Because he sees how you grow, and you just keep doing it. Anyway, finishing the verse, it says, you know, the holy, the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, I'm not kidding. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's kind of like what we would say today. Hey, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. You could take it to the bank. You know, you have my word. I mean, however you want to say it, this is the way he says it. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. All right? So when we worship the Lord on this day each week, we are not to look at it as a chore. It's a day we should delight in because it's the only day in 7 that our Creator set apart for holy use anyway. So seeing how we seek to make Him smile anyway, keeping it holy is one major step in that direction. So, and by the way, when it says in Isaiah that okay, I'm trying to figure out a way to say, anyway, it's kind of like, I've been asked over the years many questions in regards to what we should or should not do on Sabbath, and this is what led me to create that page on the website called Keeping the Sabbath Holy. To summarize, how does one keep that day holy? Because I get this question a lot in the emails and phone calls and whatnot. But how do you keep that day holy when you're at a wedding or a wedding reception? Is not the wedding day designed to be all about the bride? That day is dedicated to her. It's not dedicated to the Lord. And how does one keep that day holy when attending a funeral? Is not that day all about the deceased? With that same thought in mind, can we keep the day holy attending sporting events, watching TV, listening to secular music? Actually, you shouldn't be watching TV ever. Well, it depends on what you're watching on the TV, but the 90% of the stuff on TV, you know, that's why we took the TV out of the house. It's just, it's a mess. But or listening to secular music on Sabbath. Any day of the week, actually, you shouldn't be doing that because the devil's the angel of music. I'll be going into a little bit of detail about that later on, but in the sermon. But any activity that moves us to forget what day it is and what it's all about is not wise. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23 says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me," which means eternally, saith the Lord, "so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." This is a holy day. And this is what I love about this. Even in heaven, right now, it is considered holy. Nothing that defileth should enter therein, as far as I'm concerned, according to Revelation 21:27. Heaven is a kingdom where there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Since we know he never changes, and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven, because of the outline that Jesus gave us that most people call the Lord's Prayer, when all it really is an outline. And even though the new heavens and the new earth are future events, we know that we will be worshiping him each and every Sabbath day that we are there. If we kept his Sabbath holy before the new heavens and the earth were made, you know for a fact that he's going to be keeping it now as well as later, because he is a God that never changes. So since we know he kept it back when his word was penned, this means he's keeping it right now. And this is a God that never changes. And he means that. He never changes. And this is the nice, this is the wonderful thing about all this. They are keeping Sabbath in heaven each and every week. Imagine that, if you will. When we stop and rest to keep Sabbath here on earth, the Father, his Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Enoch, Elijah, Moses, and the many that came out of the graves when Jesus resurrected in Matthew 27, are also keeping Sabbath in heaven. Not only that, but according to Revelation 5, verse 11, there are many angels round about the throne. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. What better day to worship our God than the exact same day all citizens of heaven are worshiping him? I mean, brothers and sisters, think about that. We're so privileged to take part in the holy service that is happening inside the city of heaven right now on Sabbath day each and every week. And since nothing defiles that heavenly kingdom, we should do the same thing here if we want to be considered participants of this holy day. So we can't think our own ways, or, you know, speak our own words or find our own pleasures. There is no other day on earth that can claim to such a that can lay claim to such a blessing as this, as does the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Out of all the days of the week, there's only one considered blessed by our Creator. Only the Sabbath is to be kept on earth, even as it is in heaven. And this has always amazed me about the Baptists that I used to hang with after I left the Catholic Church. Because this always confused me. I says, okay, so this is what you're saying. And this is around the time, I guess, I was looking into the Sabbath. But they were saying, I was questioning. I says, okay, look, for thousands of years, even before the Jews were born, we have angels, evidence of angels doing this. We have Abraham doing it when he carried the name. And then, of course, the Jewish nation kept the seventh-day Sabbath. Jesus himself, when he walked among us for 3.5 years, kept the seventh-day Sabbath. And the apostles kept it after he ascended into heaven for at least 300 years, because we know what happened in 321 A.D. with Constantine. And then all of a sudden, all the Christians started keeping Sunday holy. Well, the majority of them, but not all of them. And then when we get to heaven, we're supposed to go back to the seventh day. So what you're saying is, Old Testament theology states seventh-day Sabbath. New Testament theology says Sunday Sabbath. And then when we go back to heaven, we're going to go back to the old ways. Where does that make sense? Especially when you read in the book of Malachi where it says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. How come he's changing his Sabbath? Why is he keeping it the seventh day in the Old Testament and keeping the seventh day in heaven, but on earth after his son resurrects, it's supposed to be the first day of the week? How is that jive in any way, shape, or form with the statement, I am the Lord thy God, I change not? It doesn't. But this is how blind some people have been taught to become, or indoctrinated, if you will. Okay, this next one here is a quick one, I would think. Question number 9. Welcome, SACF. You may have gotten an email from me and anybody else that just came in with the guest or whatever. If you need help with changing your name to a real first name. Like, if you only got one email address, just send me an email and I'll change it for you on the server. All right. Did the number nine? Did the Creator rest because he was weary? Well, Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28 says. And thank you again, Brother Gorin and Brother Scott and Brother A. I mean, everybody's been. I love all the scriptures that are in the room. Okay, it's Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." In short, no, the Lord did not rest and create the Sabbath day of us to rest because he was tired out from all that creating. He rested, yeah, but he rested because he was finished with what he had planned to do on this planet. And I say this planet because scientists have already declared that nebulas, like the one in the constellation of Orion, are still churning out planets, stars, quasars, and a host of other celestial bodies. And this is one of the reasons I believe a brother in the faith recently, out of the blue, and I did not ask. You know me, I don't ask donations on the pulpit. But out of the blue, I go to check the P.O. box, I don't know, about a year ago, actually. And there was a yellow card saying I got something that won't fit in the box because I got this little dinky, the smallest P.O. box they got. And I gave it to the woman. Her name is Cindy. She's a real nice lady that we know. And she comes over to the counter with this massive box. And I go, what is this? You know, and I had no idea what it was. And I got home, and there was a telescope in it because this brother in the faith was present, I guess, or listened to the sermons in regards to the We Are Very Near the End sermons. And but I didn't put what I'm about to state in that particular sermon series on audio because I wanted to double verify, triple verify what was happening. Until I was able to double verify, I did finally put it on the website. It's on the We Are Very Near the End page on the website. As it's about the cloud. I think just look up for the word cloud on that page. And what I'm talking about is the Orion Nebula. We know by studying the Word of God, especially in the book of Job, that this is where our Father's kingdom is right now. New Jerusalem is in the constellation of Orion. We even got evidence. I remember back when I was a teenager reading about how scientists are looking in when they first invented the Hubble telescope. I don't know if that was in the 70s or the 80s, but I just remember when they first got a hold of the Hubble, and especially the radio telescopes, they were pointing these telescopes all over the universe, and they were getting radio signals from absolutely every single thing they pointed at, you know, whether they were planets, asteroids, or quasars. Or even a black hole. They were getting some kind of, even if it was just static interference, whatever. They were getting some kind of a noise. But when they pointed at the Orion Nebula, absolute silence. Just no noise, nothing. Silence. Perfect silence. And one of the scientists were declaring how when he zoomed in with the Hubble, because the Orion Nebula is the only nebula you can see with the naked eye from planet Earth. It's right there in the Orion constellation. And you can see it right now this time of the year. This is why I can't wait for a nice, crisp, clear sky night. Because I've been using the telescope again. And I can't really, this telescope can't zoom in that close. But I'm going to try to get some better lenses for it. Maybe I can. But I was reading online about this other guy that has a much bigger observatory type setup in his home. He's like an amateur. And I guess they verified it with other places that there is a cloud that is coming out of the Orion Nebula that's opaque to some extent. You can't see what's behind it, but it is moving forward towards this Earth. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to double verify what's going on in that respect before actually making an audio. And I don't even know why I brought that up right now. But that is wonderful news, yes, if you're, you know, even if you're not ready to meet Christ, because it might get people off their, you know, their rocking chairs and get busy. But amen, Maranatha, man, come Lord Jesus. And then we'd see all the other signs. But the thing I liked the best was, in regards to what mankind said, is one of the scientists were saying that, first of all, it's absolute silence, just like the Word of God says. And he says he sees planets being created. And they even did a computer-generated, and I put this on the site, there's a computer-generated animation to show how they, because they turned a corner on the Orion Nebula. You can't do that with a telescope, but they did it with a computer. Just based on the data that's already been received from the nebula, they can turn the corner into that white space. And they see these you know, these planets that are got, they're surrounded by, kind of looks like, you know, kind of like a baby in a womb kind of a thing, like this membrane around this planet as it's moving around and just growing or something. I don't know what's going on. But the one scientist said, there's colors that I'm looking at that I can't define because these colors are not on planet Earth. I can't tell you what those colors look like because I've never seen such things. And I think that's exciting. And so that's why I figured I'd share it. But let me just see if I can do one more here. I think we got time. Yep. Number 10. Then for whose benefit did he make the Sabbath? And Mark chapter 2, verse 27 says, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And so the Sabbath was given to us as a reminder for us to remember the work of creation 6,000 years ago. This is one of the reasons I believe there's that prophetic statement in commandment number 4. It's the only commandment that starts with the word remember, because the Lord knew we would be taught to forget it. And so our Lord, after creating all that is seen and unseen, and for the most part for our benefit, instituted the seven-day Sabbath and set it apart for holy use so as to us, you know, so as to keep us close to Him. I mean, if nothing else, the Sabbath truly shows how much our Lord loves us and wants us near Him. We all know how we have a tendency to grow distant from friends and relatives when we don't see them for a while. I, for one, can attest to the fact that many of my siblings look upon me as a stranger, and I do them as well because of how I was shunned from the family after finding Christ 30 years ago. And so some of them I haven't seen in 20 years, except for, of course, the recent funerals. And so, yeah, we grow distance. And it was my Lord's will that I separate from them so as to get closer to Him, of course, and learn the truth. But just like Abram, when he was told, get thee away from thy brethren, and then later he becomes Abraham. But even, and I'm not comparing myself to Abraham, I'm comparing all of you. Some of you have to get away from family and or you know, negative influences in life, and it's usually family that causes that problem. If the whole family doesn't embrace the truth the way you do, then yeah, it's wise to get away. But even if my faith wasn't part of the issue for our separation, I can clearly see how distancing myself from them that has caused them to become strangers. I mean, this can also happen when we ignore the Sabbath in our time with the Lord, or even just ignore Scripture. You know, like, don't read your Bible every day, you're going to get distant. I mean, if you really love the Lord, and this is what always confused me about some Christians. I says, okay, you love your wife, right? Yeah. You love your husband, yeah. Or young Christians, like when they're dating, and hopefully they're doing it biblically, where there's always like a chaperone to some extent. You love your boyfriend, right? Yeah. You love your girlfriend, right? Yeah. How often do you see them? As much as I possibly can. Why? Well, because, you know, I want to be near them at all times, and I, you know, and it keeps the relationship strong. Okay, thank you. So, how long has it been since you've been in your Bible, or how long has it been since you've been on your knees, or how long has it been since you kept Sabbath holy? If you look at it the same way, you look at, and the love for God is a big difference between that of the love of mankind. It's a big difference. There's a lot more benefits to it, in fact. Blessings, of course. So, if we neglect Him, or if we neglect each other, it's the same thing. We're going to eventually drift away from each other or drift away from Him. And eventually His love for us will become strange to us. And when we get on our knees and desperate for prayer, seeing Him answer the prayer would also be strange to us because we don't have that experience that we should have had by now. And this is why a lot of Christians have very weak prayer lives, because they don't have any real experiences in their lives of Him, of His hand moving, because they're not there. They don't. He's a lousy weather God to them. It's just like with fair weather Christians or fair weather friends. The only time your friends are coming around is when you got a couple of bucks in your pocket and everything's going well. The minute you lose a job or you're down, it's just like you hear crickets when you step outside looking for friends. There's no one. And well, it's the exact opposite with God. When everything's going great, you don't want anything to do with them. Especially, this is why the young people have such a hard time finding God, because they figure, oh, I don't even have any wrinkles yet. Why do I even have to bother thinking about Him? I'll wait till I get old and wrinkly and crippled up and wearing using canes. You know, that's not what He's about. He wants the best you have to offer, and usually that's when you're young. And so, praise His name, He's long-suffering, though, still, at the same time. He doesn't give up on us, even if we give up on Him. And that's one of the most amazing things that I've ever noticed about my Father. Not only is His truth everlasting and never changes, He's never everlasting. He is truly everlasting and never changes his love for us either. We can walk away, of course, and we can jump into that hell, that hellfire all on our own. He doesn't want us to, of course, but he gives us free will. So, yes, I can see multiple reasons why we should keep Sabbath holy. Hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.